Welcome to Modern Day Abigails. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So let's listen to God's Word, where everyday lives transform and where we can become the women God created us to be.
Now, we have been talking about this many times about doing more of a podcast about nutrition because nutrition does play a lot into it. So I got exciting, happy news to say we are not going to do that because we have somebody who can do a better job than we can, right?
Right.
So super excited. My nutritionist, Dr. Amber, agreed that she will be on the show with us so that we can talk about that, the physical and spiritual restoration and how nutrition for women's health, it plays an important role.
Well, and then you, so Pastor Ray, you and Pastor Ray did a podcast with her, what, last week or something?
A few weeks ago. Yeah. And it was called, I think he called it Just Live Well. So if you check out Set for Life, radio.
I don't know.
Something.com.
He's your husband.
I don't do websites.
Look, okay. No.
It's Set for Life Radio.
I was just listening to it.
I believe it's setforliferadio.com and it's called Just Live Well with Dr. Amber. And we go into a lot of other stuff with her. Poor little slimy thing. He just flattens out.
Oh, he's a big blob now. Yeah. Anyway, on the podcast, it's called Set for Life Radio. And,
that's the podcast name.
Yeah. And so it was just
Live Well, I believe.
I'm trying to find it. I mean, I was just, but anyway, that was the first one and it went so well. And she was so excited to join that.
She's all about women's health.
It is Just Live Well. And so
she's a believer and she would love to just join us in on this.
Yeah. So, she's agreed to come and chat with us. And
because sometimes we do, like you said, you talked about it earlier today. We self-sabotaged ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We do it all the time. And so many times we self-
I'm pretty good at
I'm,
it.
I'm really good at it. I'm very, so I broke out into a huge rash not too
I'm
long
an expert.
Ago. And that rash went from my ear all the way down my neck and it itched so bad. And my coworkers were really concerned. They're like, you know, stop scratching. And I tried lavender oil. I finally broke out. My colleagues, she's like, hey, here's the hydrocortisone. I mean, I was breaking out everything to get some type of relief.
You sent me a picture and it was so red and so big.
Yeah. And it was self-sabotage because we naturally go through stress is not a bad thing. They will tell you this. I had my doubts at first, but they're like, stress is not a bad thing. How you manage it makes the difference. Well, I didn't manage it very well because I ate some chips that I knew I wasn't supposed to eat. And because I ate those chips, my body's like, I'm done. I got to reject this. And that's why I broke out into this huge rash. Had I not eaten the chips, I wouldn't have broken out into a rash. I stopped.
Just like a cherry on the top, right?
Exactly.
There.
So those are those little things that when the Lord says, I'm going to begin a good work in you and I'll complete it until the day it tries. That completion can be as easy or as hard as we want it. We can make it easy and say, okay, Lord, do what you got to do. Or we can make it hard and say, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do.
We can go kicking and screaming.
Yep. Exactly.
Or we can go.
All right, Lord, we got to do.
Yeah.
All right, girl, you got to get out the prunes. All right. Just make sure they're sharp. Let's get this done.
All right, let's do it.
2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So not only does he want to complete the good work, but he wants us to equip us for this good work, if we're willing. And then Hebrews 13:21, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. So we're watching this. He wants to complete the good work. He wants us to equip us for the good work. And he wants us to complete us in the good work, doing his will and to do what is pleasing in his sight. But too often we want to do our will. We want to do our will. We don't want to do his. We want what it's for us. And I'm not saying I have not had a self-pity party. I have it often because I just wanted to be a stay-at-home mom with a whole bunch of kids. But no, the Lord's like, no, you're going to go into the corporate world. And I get mad at him some days. I'm like, why am I in this corporate world? I didn't want to be in that. But you know what? He's introduced me some of the best people ever to learn and to help and to grow. And I'm like, okay, I know you needed me there because you needed me there.
Well, and sometimes we go like, well, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do.
Yep. That goes back to that curse being a woman.
You ain't the boss of me.
Yep. But Jesus is the boss of us. If we gave him our lives, yeah. we want to respect him.
Yeah, he is.
And we want to have a relationship with him. But unfortunately, what happens is modern day society says the relationship is based on me. It's all about me. There's that stupid song that says, I want to talk. Sometimes we talk about you. We talk about this. You talk about this. But sometimes I want to talk about me. Talk about I. Some country song.
Oh, I don't listen to country. I don't know.
Depends on what right mood right okay, then. Some yeah. days were country,
well,
some days were oldies.
To a variety.
So. And I'm learning that his songs for the day, it represents his mood.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
So I'm not real sure what song.
So I don't know who he is, but he talks about, I want to talk about me, I want to talk about you, you know, and I'm like.
Listen, all the country listeners, y'all are going to know exactly what she's talking about.
And it really bothered me because I'm like, well, that sounds like kind of selfish, but she shouldn't be talking about herself that much either. That's not a relationship. It was not a relationship. If she's talking all about herself and he wants to now talk about himself, where's the relationship in that? Anyway.
There isn't one.
No. That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. God wants a relationship, but it can't be about us. We have to do. And you're like, but it's his will. Yeah. It's God's will, because if we follow his will, it turns out to be best for us.
Yeah. Well, that's in any relationship. It can't just be all about you. There's another person involved.
Exactly. Exactly. So when I read, I might say, where's the rest of this Shulamite? I'm like, where's the rest of them? I haven't even gotten there yet. I'm so sorry. Yeah, no. We're still there. Okay. Yeah. So lastly, what I saw in this, I said lastly, in this little part, about getting restored, completing that work. Remember the Shulamite got all lazy and she was washing her hair basically and said, I didn't want to get up. I'm naked. I ain't going to get up and answer the door for you.
She didn't want to answer the door for her guy.
I know.
Okay.
Shoot, if I was laying naked in bed, that'd be the first door I open. I'm just saying. Yeah. I ain't going to lay in bed for nothing naked.
Let me throw this sheet around me. I'll be right there.
If it's just him by himself, who needs a sheet?
Well, depends. They weren't officially married.
She was daydreaming. They were.
Huh?
I believe that was the daydream and she was thinking about them being married.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm just saying, if it's your spouse.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
If your spouse, you're next, go answer the door.
Yeah.
Who cares what you got on? I lost track.
We got on a different subject.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, ladies. Y'all know me by now.
Hey, we're all about the funness for your husband. Yep. We're all about the funness.
I'm about to say, sex is supposed to be fun with your husband. All right. So lastly, we're talking about restoration, right? We're talking about this beautiful garden. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is how Jesus does want to restore us. And we see that with Peter, because Peter had denied Jesus three times. You know, Lord told him, hey, you're going to deny me three times. Peter's like, no, I'm not.
I'll never deny you, Lord.
You know, and I love Peter. Some days you just want to walk up into him like, seriously, dude, you've been walking with him for 3 years. If Jesus tells you you're going to deny him by God, you know you're going to do it.
You know, he's one of my favorites.
He is mine too. Oh, he makes me feel better.
He's such a hothead and mouthy, but
at the same time, he is ready to do what the Lord wants him to do.
Loved his Jesus.
Yes, and he might run into a wall trying to do it.
Sure,
I love Peter. I know
a guy's ear.
You just want to high five him.
He's one of my faves.
So, Ray talks about that. Ray and I talk about that. We just love him to death. So, I do have questions when he said, no, I'm not.
Okay.
Did you just call Jesus a liar?
Right.
I'm just curious here. What you just did?
I mean, he sees the future. Yeah. But okay. You know, maybe you won't.
Sure. Jesus was like, all right.
Okay, guy.
All right. Well, we'll see. But Jesus did know he was going to. Yeah. And Jesus still had a plan for Peter's life.
He did.
And it says in John 21.
He had an amazing one.
He did. Starting at 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. except that part where he said, deny him. And anyway, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Moses, surely I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself up and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by the death which he will glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. He restored Peter, who denied Jesus. Now he's saying, I love you three times. And he's saying, guess what? I know. And you're going to go to a place where you don't want to go because you're going to die glorifying God and doing the work I've asked you to do. Because this is temporary. Joanna, that's one thing that bothers me. We always want to think about tomorrow. We're living for today instead of eternity. If we would just redirect our lives and look at the idea that we're going to live for eternity with Jesus, I think we would walk a very different life. Because we're thinking about what's here, what's now, what can I get out of it instead of what I have to look forward to. And that's what Jesus was telling them. Hey, now that you believe me, when I tell you what you're going to do, you are going to do a lot of good work. You are going to die a terrible death, but you're going to do it with my glory. And I know Jesus was with him when he was going through that. You know how I know that? Stephen, when he was getting stoned, all you saw is that he said he saw the glory of God.
Yeah.
He was not upset.
He kept his eyes on Jesus.
I don't know if he felt it. To be honest,
I was wondering if he ever felt a thing.
I don't think he felt pain because he was so focused on Jesus and seeing heaven open up. I don't think he felt any pain.
Yeah.
I always think about it because I've read that story where, was it in Korea, North Korea?
I've always thought he didn't.
Yeah. They were going to roll them over with steamrollers.
Yeah.
And they went out singing praises.
Feet first.
But they were singing praises to the Lord. But I'm like, Lord, how did they do it? And then I realized you were with them. They felt no pain. They didn't think anything about it because they were going to be with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah. And, you know, I've said this so many times and you will understand and agree. The way that my life turned out and the hardship that I've had and the messed up and all the abuse and all that stuff. If I had known years ago, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. Even longer. What I know now,
right?
Yeah, all the stuff that I went through and survived, and would I do it again, knowing what I know now? And you know, would you do anything different? I get that question a lot.
Yeah,
would you do anything different? And my answer is immediately no,
because I learned everything from it.
I wouldn't do anything.
We're not saying that we're glad we sinned. Okay. We're not saying, I am so glad I sinned. What we're saying is we're glad we learned from what we did.
Yeah.
Because I mean, do I like my sin? No. But that God was gracious to me and gave me the greatest little boy ever. Okay. He's a grown man now.
He is.
Who has his own son. Yeah. Married and has his own son. But I would not trade it because then I would have to give up him and I don't want to give up him.
Yeah.
And he taught me so much. I learned a lot because of him.
I do wish that I was a better mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too.
But other than that, I wouldn't have changed anything that happened or anything that went.
We wouldn't be able to share either.
We would not be here.
No, I wouldn't be here.
Nope. Nobody raises their hand. The Lord doesn't. You know, he's like, okay, we've got a tough job going. Who's going to volunteer? Nobody's going to volunteer for what we went through. Nobody.
No, but God used us. I mean, what a privilege that he would be willing.
I agree.
He would use us. I have that scripture. Oh, David says it. He goes something about, basically he says, who am I and what is my house that you would have brought me this far? Right? And I think about that all the time. Like, who am I, Lord, that you would bring? Why are you allowing me to sit in the studio and do a podcast?
Yeah.
Except for you.
Exactly.
Except the Lord.
And I've mentioned this to you before, but, I have, outside of MDA, I've had this women's ministry that I do, and I've been doing it since like 2008, 2009, of just helping women, whatever they need. If they need a safe place for the night, if they need a safe place for the month, if they need outside help from what I can give them, if they need a tank of gas,
right?
They need diapers, yes. Whatever. The Lord has always sent to me women just in the weirdest, oddest way. And I had told Anna, I don't even know if you remember this conversation, but I told Anna, my house is like a sanctuary,
yes,
for women, and it always has been. If I ever get married, I was a little leery at the thought of even getting married because my ministry's in my house. And
what did I say?
That the Lord would take care of, that when it was time. But at the same time, the thought of being remarried, I do like that. But at the thought of not having the ministry that I have, it kind of makes me sad.
Yeah, but at the same time, God knows your heart, and He knows He either is going to continue the ministry, yeah, or give you a new one.
Yeah.
He's not going to stop. He might take that ministry and give it to somebody else and give you a different one.
Because it is my heart.
Yeah.
My heart.
Hey, believe me, my ministry and my heart the Lord has changed things and worked things around to get me where He needs me to go. And sometimes things do change.
Yeah.
And we have to be open for that too. We have to be open that the Lord's going to change. Like, He changes our prayers, not because we, yeah, change His mind, but because He's changing us. And we're actually going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, you just said, profiting from trials, how trials, yeah, help restore us. And because earlier when
what does the Lord do? He does so much.
I know. So He's so much. Good.
It overwhelms me. I don't even deserve what I have right now.
And before the ladies think that, you know, we're like all there. No, I can tell you probably not too long ago, I was kicking and screaming and crying and asking the Lord, what are you doing to me?
I texted you today, yeah, and I don't have life together.
Yeah.
I'm a dang mess. I can't get it together.
I have screamed.
I can't get together any aspect of my life right now.
I've been known to just be by myself, hit a wall, and just screamed. Yeah. Well, I screamed one time to the point where I thought I hurt myself and scared me because I just couldn't handle, yeah, it anymore.
And I mean, that's not funny. It's funny, but not funny.
But yeah, and I couldn't tell you how many times I get through that, and the Lord looks at, yeah, me and go, you done yet?
Yeah. Are you
you done?
And I texted you the other, yeah, day. I'm having a self-inflicted
pity party.
Voluntary pity party.
And I wasn't getting help because I'm like,
yeah, you, yeah, were having a horrible day. And you're like, yeah, yeah, okay, me too.
Yeah, well, I have no help right now because I've, yeah, got the same pity party.
Yeah. And so I already knew you were having a bad day, so I wasn't expecting you to.
No, but you let me know. But you know what was nice? Hey. You let me know that, hey, you're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we stop and we'll go, all right, what warfare is going on?
Yeah.
What's going on? Yeah. What are we talking about? What's Ray preaching about? Because unfortunately, she being the best friend.
Yeah. And
you get stuck into the warfare when it comes to some.
I feel the warfare, yep, that y'all feel.
And Ray's going through a really tough message this next Sunday.
I even texted you today, yep, girl, the warfare, what in the dang? And you're like, what are we, because I hadn't gotten your notes, yeah, yet. And I'm like, what is SOS over today? And you're like, well, it's a tough one. And then Ray's got a tough message that he's
working on.
So sorry, bestie, but you're in it. I'm like, yeah, oh, you know what? I'll do it.
Yep.
I'm there.
Sorry.
I got you.
Not sorry. So that's why we're going to talk about the trials, because when he talked about to gather the lilies, the flowers, you know, earlier when we looked, when she went to look for him, and you know, it didn't go well. Remember, the watchman struck her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that means, but we had, what was her motive to look for him at that time was she had such a delayed response. You know, we didn't know, but when she challenged, but when she got challenged by the daughters of Jerusalem, her complacency lifted. Trials take us from our complacency. Right? You know, when we get too complacent.
Oh, I agree.
Throw in a good trial, man.
Sure.
That's going to get you up and going.
A little bit. Yeah.
And that's what James in 2 through 4
says.
That
sounds fun.
Yeah, exactly. Check it up. Let's do some trials. Because he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing, yeah, that the, okay, testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So we need these trials actually bring us to restoration.
I don't go straight to joy, though.
No,
I don't.
No, but anytime.
I don't lie.
I mean, if you think about it, when you're restoring something, I've never restored a car. I always tell Ray, I'd love to restore a car. And he just looks at me like, you're nuts.
Yeah, it's a hard path. I'm not there with you.
I mean,
not doing it.
Seriously, we'd
that's
buy
too
that.
Dirty for me.
I said, we'd look at that old car and I'd be like, all right, that's cool. I don't know now.
What now?
That's cool. You know, yeah. But my supervisor, he restored an old car when he was a kid. He went and borrowed money from an older lady, paid her back, and went and got a book from AutoZone and restored that car using a book from AutoZone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was, that was his time, but I can imagine, he told me how the joy he had when he got the first rev it up. He got in big trouble because it was at 3 a.m.
But
he
said,
and I said, you got in trouble. He goes, oh yeah, but it was totally worth it. It was totally worth it. But the thing is that restoration took time, took money. Our trials have to give us that time that it takes to show us what's really in us, that either, like we talked about earlier, yes, it's dead. It needs to get clipped out.
Yeah.
It's sick. It needs to be made well. It, maybe it's not planted in the right spot and got to get replanted. Maybe, you know, we, you know, plant the roses over here and we figure out the roses should be over there. You know, those trials are supposed to bring us about restoration. And I'll be the first to raise my hand. Trials make me feel defeated. And what is the point? I get really whiny. And that's why I'm glad that David talked about how he brought the complaints to the Lord. Because you're always talking about don't complain. You shouldn't complain. But I'm like, but by golly, David used to take his complaints to the Lord. He didn't take it to other people.
Yeah.
He took it straight to the Lord. And I think that's why it's okay for us to take our complaints to the Lord. When we're upset, we can take it to him. Now, sometimes he looks at you and go, he'll tell you, I know he's done it to me. Quit whining. Be a big girl. Okay.
Yeah, put like, your big girl panties on and let's do it.
Yeah, you know, and then sometimes he's, you know, he's like, I understand. I get you. I got something else in mind, but I got to have you here before I can get you there. I got to take you down a path. I know you don't like the path, but I need you to take this path so I can get you where I want you.
Sometimes he wraps his big fatherly arms around us and we cry together and then we're like, okay, let's just talk.
But at the same time, sometimes he's a tough parent and he looks at you and you're like, okay, look, you've been down there long enough.
Right.
It's time to get up.
Yeah. I have a longstanding trial and I feel like he tells me that daily. All right, let's get it together, girl.
Yep.
Come on. And I'm like, I know I can't. I try it.
Have your child ever been on the floor and you just took that child by the arm and yanked them up?
oh yeah, many times.
But sometimes
let's do it.
Yeah. But sometimes that's what they need, right?
Yeah.
We got to do it. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go.
You and I do that to each other.
Yeah, we do that
to
each other. We've done that one before.
Yeah. We're like,
I love you and want to bless you, but you're.
Yeah. New perspective.
Exactly. So we see, okay. So what we're doing is we're seeing that she has confidence that he would want to see her. Okay. So she's not going there like, oh, he's over there, but I don't know if he wants to see me. Maybe he's mad at me. Maybe I should just back off. No. She realizes, no, he wants to see her. Remember he left that love note on her door handle with Myrrh? He left her a love note. She knows he wants to see her, but she's going to have to make this move because she was the one who's been all, I don't want to get out of bed. I've already got my clothes off. I'm, you know, washing my hair. Yeah. So now he's saying, okay.
She's regretting that right about
now. Yeah, she is. So now she's got to go. Now she's like, he wants to see me because this is that restore that Jesus wants us to restore. So first, I want to show you how he's talking to Israel in Jeremiah 30:1-3. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thus speaks the Lord of God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I've spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they will possess it. He's going to restore Israel. We talked about that before. He's going to restore his people. We see them come back. That was 1948.
It's one of his promises.
Yes. Israel was born again, born as a nation in one day. Talked about that. And we've been watching him restore Israel, bringing his people back. In fact, Reed came over the other day. My little grandson came over the other day. He had all his little fatigues with him, two hats and a big book. And he goes, Grandma, we're going to play World War II today. I brought a book. It has lots of pages. We're going to read it.
Oh, okay.
This is too early for a history lesson, buddy.
That sounds so fun.
But once I, you know, had another cup of coffee in me, trying to keep up with his little energy, we were able to do it to talk about Israel, how World War II, World War I prepared the land for the people. World War II prepared the people for the land. And so I was able to talk to him about that. We talked about Israel and that the Lord's bringing back his people to Israel and it's their land, you know? So I don't know, but then we were on a battleship or aircraft carrier. We were on an aircraft carrier. But he prepared a meal for his troop later, his men. He was cooking later for them.
first. That's so sweet.
I know. It was really sweet. He let me eat too. It was nice.
Oh, that's just nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I don't know what I was eating, but I was eating something. He told me. But the thing is it did give that opportunity, and that's what we're seeing. And the Lord wants us to talk about that. He wants us to tell the people to that he's bringing them back. In fact, I know this one by heart, so I'm going to look it up real quick. It's Jeremiah 30:10, where he says, Jeremiah, and we have a 30 and we have a 10. And he says, therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. Behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return and have rest and be quieted, and no one shall be afraid. That is not it. You know why it's not it? Because it's 31:10, okay. Not 30:10. This makes more sense
round
now.
Round two.
Yes, we're going to do that again. Although it was a great verse. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Nations. United States included in nations. And declare it in the isles afar off and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of the one stronger than he. We're supposed to tell people that God is bringing them back. He is restoring Israel, and we get to watch him restore Israel.
Thank you for letting us share our tools to become the women God created us to be. If we encouraged you today, visit us at moderndayabigails.com. Remember, you are loved, cherished, and prayed over.